Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Get down, get down.
Saturday rolling on here live from City Thrift, a brand new location just opened this week. They've got banners out front, balloons inside, all sorts of fun for you out here at City Thrift. You want to come check out this new location and also get yourself some fresh Chiefs gear before the big game coming up tomorrow afternoon. I've made no secret of this forever. You know I love a vintage Chiefs sweater, a little piece of vintage gear, even if it's just... come and find yourself a little Jamal Charles swag. We found that earlier. There's incredible options for you, not just the Chiefs stuff. Everything here looks great, and I can only say looks great right now because I have not personally gone through every aisle, at least in the men's section, which is what I will be doing with the remainder of my afternoon before getting back to enjoy some football. And also some KU basketball coming up here, coverage beginning in about an hour and a half. I'm Joshua Briscoe, though, out here with Jack Johnson and Blake Schneiders back on the other side of the glass at the station. Again, if you want to come out here and check out this new City Thrift location, here's what it's good for. Here's what you can do. Here's what you need to know. They got a bunch of Chiefs items out, a whole section, some vintage Chiefs apparel. Come check that out and get yourself a truly unique piece of Chiefs history and a little bit of extra vintage swag for your closet. I love that. I'm excited to go search through that myself. And if you come out today and donate clothing or a household item at this new location, you can enter to win a $100 gift card, which is another great opportunity for you to be able to go on a little shopping spree here. You're going to be able to get quite a bit of bang for your buck throughout City Thrift, but you're also not just getting great deals, you're also supporting a great cause. City Thrift is associated with City Union Mission. The city in City Thrift, the city in City Union Mission, connecting those dots for you here today. Because City Union Mission does incredible work to help provide warm beds, nutritious food, and a place of safety for the homeless and less fortunate in this community. So you can help give back to the community and get yourself some awesome new items for your closet or some home decor. I see some like framed art on the far wall that is pretty awesome. That I'm just sort of hoping that all of these things, you know, really for me personally, I would rather you not show up until like 1:45 because that gives me a 15-minute head start before you get here and start taking all the good stuff. But if you don't wear a men's XL, you can come shop now. If you do, wait until 1:31 p.m. so then I can get there first. Or you can go ahead and come get your head start and also come say hi to myself, to Jack. And if you want to pass along a message to Blake, you know, we can relay it back to him.
Blake, it'll only take you 30 minutes to get down here.
Yeah, Blake, you want to hop in the car and come do a little like a City Thrift Queer Eye experience, you know, just hand you some clothes, you go try them on, tell me how it's feeling.
I would love nothing more.
I think that'd be a good time actually. So this would be a legit great place to do that. So I'm gonna keep that in mind. We got a little team bonding experience whenever we want to get together, make sure our team chemistry is in a good place as a radio station. This might be the place to do it. I like that idea a lot, actually. So you can come out and add some awesome stuff to your collection, or you can give an extra life to some of your lightly used, unused items and donate them to City Thrift and help support a great cause and pass along again some items in your life that maybe didn't get the use that you thought they were going to. Give them to somebody who will get that use out of them here at City Thrift. So we're out here until 1:30, then KU basketball coverage begins right after that. We talked a lot of Chiefs Bills earlier in the show already. We'll keep talking a lot of Chiefs Bills as we go. But I want to actually hand the sticks over to a guest of ours that we talked to this week on Almost Entirely Sports. We talked to Matt Verderam just about every week. And in this case, I want you to hear him talk about what it is that's going to make this game a little bit interesting, a little special, a little unique, and what these two teams are bringing to the table. He's got something from the trenches, something from the quarterbacks, something from where these teams evolved from week five. Here is a little bit of my conversation with our friend Matt Verderam of Fanside when I asked him where he's at right now regarding Chiefs Bills.
I think this game, I think it's weird in a sense.
the game itself is great. But I think the narrative nationally is kind of weird about it.
Yep.
Like, we have heard, at least I've heard, I can't speak for everybody else, but from what I've seen, what I've consumed, it's this idea that, like, if the both teams play well, the Bills are the more talented team, but the Chiefs have Mahomes. I'll throw a question at you. Other than the safeties, where I think the Bills' combination of safeties are the best in the league, not that the Chiefs have bad ones, but I think the Bills are better at the combo. What position group do the Bills have that you would say is more talented than the Chiefs?
I think you might be able to make an argument for purely wide receivers, but I wouldn't. I don't think. I think I'd rather have it being a little more top-heavy. I don't know. You could split the hairs on Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs and then maybe take the Bills. But the point you're making is a very good one, is that I don't know if there's a great answer.
I don't – like there are some position groups that are close.
Yeah.
Like, I think linebackers close.
Yep.
This idea that, like, the Chiefs are somehow this, like, plucky team compared to Buffalo is just – I don't understand that.
Yeah.
You watch NFL Network, and Buffalo, 7 out of 10 predictions for the Bills. Listen, the Bills are really good. And I will say this. I've said this all week on any radio show I've done. I've said on my podcast. The Bills game against New England, that is the best game I've ever seen a football team play.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills destroyed – a Bill Belichick coach team for 4 quarters, they could have beat them worse if they wanted to.
Yeah.
That game was crushing. That said, I watched the Bills, I won't say every game this year, I've probably watched them 13, 14 times. They have games where they play unbelievably well. Mm. They have a lot of games where they don't play well at all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variance with the Bills where they're not with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are pretty much, the last 3 months of the year, they're pretty much the same team just about every week. You know, there's going to be some penalties. There's probably going to be a turnover. But there's also going to be a pretty good defensive effort. And there's going to be an offense that at any given time can hang 35, 40 points. And that's pretty much what you're getting. Look, I think this game's going to be really good. The one advantage I see in this game, for either side, I think it's the biggest advantage. The Chiefs are better than Buffalo on both sides of the ball in the trenches.
Mm.
And if they're going to win, I think that's why, along with, of course, the man throwing football.
Well, let's stay in the trenches then for a second, because we're never going to have any trouble finding time to talk about the quarterbacks. What is it that gives the Chiefs the advantage? I mean, we know the offensive line is very well built, even with Andrew Wiley playing a pretty admirable right tackle as their third choice there. And we also know about the pass rushers. But what are you seeing from Buffalo that makes you say, no, the Chiefs have the advantage here?
Well, look, it's not even that Buffalo's bad necessarily up front. It's just that they're not overwhelming. And the Chiefs, they spent a ton of either draft capital or money in free agency on that offensive line. And when you look at that group, I think it's one of the five best offensive lines in football.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. And Buffalo has Mario Addison, who leads the team with 7 sacks. He's been limited all week. The shoulder injury, we'll see if he can play. My guess is he will, but how effective is he? Who knows? He came out of that New England game in a sling.
Mm.
So how well does he play? Nobody else on the team has more than 4.5 sacks. Now, they lead the league in pressure rate. See, like, that's interesting. But then there's the other part of this where the quarterbacks and the offenses that Buffalo has faced all year long has just been flat out terrible. If you go through and look, here's the list of the quarterbacks the Bills have faced this year. So Mahomes and Brady, who are the two guys who are obviously elite players. After that, Tua Tagovailoa twice, Zach Wilson twice, Mac Jones twice, Trevor Lawrence, Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill, Davis Mills, Ben Roethlisberger, Tyler Heineke, Trevor Siemian, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton. Like,
poof!
I mean, that's the list.
Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback on that list by so much that it's confusing.
Vile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when everybody's like, well, the Bills have this great defense, so I don't know if they're great. The last time they played a good team was the Bucs.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers had 500 yards of offense. Like, and that's, by the way, the only time they played anybody who can throw the ball at all since Tre'Davious White got hurt.
Yeah.
So, don't get me wrong. I think they're good, but I don't think they have a strong pass rush. If they're not out in front, they can just do everything they want to do. And I think most of their pass rush comes from the interior of the guy, like Ed Oliver. Well, the Chiefs' interior is the best part of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, we all know this, look, if you can't pressure Mahomes, you're in for a long night.
Yep.
Like, you're just in for a – and by the way, same true of Allen. If you can't get pressure on him. When Allen's been sacked three or more times this year, the Bills are 1-4.
Hmm.
He's also the worst quarterback remaining statistically in the playoffs against the Blitz. If you're the Chiefs, you relentlessly go after him, but you have to do it in a way where he cannot escape the pocket. That is going to be the key to this whole game. If he can't run and you can get pressure, and that's a hard thing to do. That's a really hard thing to do. But if the Chiefs can bring an extra guy but contain him and keep him in the pocket and force him back and not sideways, I think the Chiefs have a really good shot in the game because I don't think Buffalo up front can handle Jones and Clark and Ingram. And if the Chiefs bring pressure, I mean, one thing with Spagnuolo, he's pretty good at coming up with exotic pressures,
mm-hmm.
forcing you to kind of make a decision where either answer is not great. I think you're going to see the Chiefs be very aggressive in this game Sunday night.
Well, and so, I mean, specifically speaking to the idea of containing Josh Allen, I like the way that you phrased it, of having him move backwards and not sideways, where he can become even more dangerous. My hunch would be that Frank Clark and Melvin Ingram in particular are pretty well suited to help execute that, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're both cagey veterans. They both are good against the edge. Now, look, Ingram's going to have an interesting matchup. He's going against the rookie right tackle on Spencer Brown, who has flashed and has been very good at times, but also has gotten torched by better pass rushers at times.
Hmm.
Melvin Ingram's going to have a shot to win on the edge there. Clark is going against Dawkins, who's their best lineman, I think. Very good left tackle. He and Mitch Morse are the two guys who I'd consider strong guys up front for them. The Chiefs, the big thing is Jones against either guard should be able to win.
Yeah.
And if he wins, anytime you're facing a quarterback like Allen or a Mahomes or someone of that type of that big physical, like even Herbert, not that he runs quite as much as those two, but you want his first step in that pocket to be back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to be to his right or even to his left with a guy like Allen because he can throw the ball so hard he can throw it to any blade of grass on the field. And that's where I think Jones is so important here. Like, if the Bills come in with the plan of doubling Jones, which I think they'd be crazy not to, that makes the blitz all the more important. If you show blitz early and over the interior, all of a sudden it forces the offensive line's rules to change. They have to declare who they're going to block. Now you can't double Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Or the back's going to have to pick up a blitzing linebacker, and all of a sudden now the back stays in. Now they only have four eligible guys. Now you're still playing 6-on-4 in the back end. I think for Kansas City, you go after Allen in his game, but you tell especially Clark and Ingram, you cannot let him out the door.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder in this game if Willie Gay plays, which we'll see if he does.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Chiefs blitz and use him as a spy behind the blitz?
Yeah.
Where if he takes off and the Chiefs in the meantime just say, look, we're going to play man. We're going to play too high behind it when we can. Sometimes we're going to go single high. We're going to take our chances. And I think to the Chiefs, you play with aggression, and you take a little bit of a calculated gamble that, okay, look, we're willing to try to put him under some pressure, and if he makes one big mistake in the game, that might be enough.
You mentioned this earlier, and it's stuck with me to the point that I'm circling all the way back, because you know you mentioned that the Bills have their inconsistencies, right? Where there are games where they
yep.
lose to the Jags, and then a couple weeks later get blown out by the Colts, and you know, I won't use the Patriots monsoon whatever blizzard
yeah,
game as an example, right? Because
yeah.
that you know that one was played on a different planet, basically.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
but what is the biggest factor, or is there even a common factor in the games where they don't look quite right? And is that something the Chiefs can force upon them, or is that kind of like with the Chiefs' issues? Is that more self-inflicted?
Pressure.
Mm.
Pressure. I mean, again, they're 1-4 when teams get three sacks on Allen.
Yep.
Mm. Pressure. Like, look, why did the Chiefs get the rear ends kicked in the Super Bowl last year? Couldn't block.
Anybody.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I had two sacks that game.
Right.
Like, I mean, why great teams, why did the year the Pats were undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl, why did they lose to the Giants?
Pressure, baby.
Who, by the way, was the D coordinator in that game?
I can't remember.
Yeah, right.
He's currently the defense coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yeah, it might be Steve Spagnuolo.
It might be Steve Spagnuolo.
You don't think that's a lesson that maybe he's taken? Like, how they beat the Bills last year in the AFC title game? They just relentlessly hit Allen in the game.
Mm.
That's it. Like, you to me, we make it too often about well, who are the best weapons and who's the X factor? Oh, is it Mecole Hardman or is it Isaiah McKenzie? Is it? Well, what about this? It's football forever and has always been about pressure. Hmm. If you win up front, you win. And I thought when they played in Week 5, the Chiefs didn't have Jones, they didn't have Ingram. Clark was playing with a hamstring injury. They could. I might rewatch the game this week. They could not get a lick of pressure. Allen sat back there the entire game, did all day. And yes, Dan Sorensen is a big part of that game. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. That's true. That is not going to be as much of a factor this time around with Thornhill. But the Chiefs can get pressure. And the Bills got a lot of pressure because Mahomes was drifting out of the back of the pocket. And Brown was all messed up in that game if you go back and watch it. And the Chiefs, look, let's be real. If they get pressure on Allen, and Allen has one of these games, and he's had a lot of them this year. I would say about a third of his games this year. He has not played well. If you can get him into a game where he doesn't have a great game, if he's merely good, the Bills are probably losing this game.
Hmm.
I don't see. And by the way, same for Mahomes. If Mahomes is just like okay in this game, the Chiefs are going to lose.
Right.
To me, this whole game, if I'm the Chiefs coaching staff, this entire game is we have to give Mahomes time. And we have to take it away from Josh Allen. If you can do that, I think the Chiefs move on.
I love the emphasis on the pressure of it because it makes sense. You speed up that clock in a quarterback's head and everything gets more difficult. That's been true for everyone all the way back to, you know, the peak of young Tom Brady to now the peak of old Tom Brady and everybody's. I think that's focus well made. On the Chiefs' offensive side, I mean, you mentioned Mahomes has to be great. Both quarterbacks in this game have to achieve at least at the level of the other guy. Otherwise, their team's going to end up, you know, coming up short. With the rest of the offense, though, I mean, this is maybe too narrow, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been practicing again this week. But Jerick McKinnon in this offense last week, I mean, I've been happy to invoke the name of Damian Williams a few times of – it felt like the offense more than anything else. This game with Jerick McKinnon playing that role last week felt like the Chiefs' offense back to something near its best. Is that something where you're going to give credit to McKinnon? Is that something different they were asking him to do? What do you do if you're Eric Bieniemy or Andy Reid this week in terms of the running back position?
I think it's a good point. And look, McKinnon definitely deserves some credit. I thought that it was the first time, really all year, maybe there's a game I'm not thinking of, maybe against the Raiders perhaps, I thought the Chiefs played with joy. They looked happy.
Yeah. Like,
it's a weird thing to say about a football team, but, you know, that clip's been going around in NFL films. It was like when Kelce threw a touchdown pass, and Mahomes was giving him crap, he didn't throw it to him. And like, that team, I got to tell you, like watching the game, and the game was over by halftime.
Right.
But when they threw a touchdown to Allegretti,
yes,
and then Kelce came back and threw a touchdown to Byron Pringle, I just kind of thought to myself, like, if they play like that, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, that's when they're at their best. You know, some teams are at their best in their match. They're at their best when they're just freewheeling and here it comes and stop us. Yeah. And I thought they were like that. I thought that game really got them right. Now, with McKinnon, I think the element he brings, and I don't think Williams or Edwards-Helaire brings this, is speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's fast. He's very fast. He makes good cuts. For a guy his size, he's a hell of a guy. I've done contact. He can run somebody over. He can run through a tackle. But McKinnon, you know, his nickname's Jet.
Mm-hmm. Like,
he's fast. And when you're dealing with that team, you're already dealing with a bunch of guys who can run like the wind. And now all of a sudden you're putting in another guy who – but okay, now you're not going to guard McKinnon with a linebacker. I mean, not many linebackers are going to be able to guard Jerick McKinnon, especially if you're in man defensively and your best linebacker's on Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Now your second best guy is on McKinnon. He spread the defense. Even if Edwards-Helaire comes back this week, and it seems like he will, and I think that's a good thing. I know some Chiefs fans have hesitancy. It's like, well, how will they split the carries? I think Edwards-Helaire should be the backup. Look, are you trying to win a Super Bowl or are you trying to justify that he was the first-round pick a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's not the best running back in this team. He's not. I would argue he's the third best running back in this team. Like, but he's not bad. They just have a lot of pretty good running backs. But I would put McKinnon deserves it. He had 150 yards last week. You have to play Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, I agree. I just even after some of the big Darrell Williams games, or after he has a 50-yard absolute mossing, you know, great moments and a real role. But for McKinnon, just not from the beginning of the game, I guess, because it wasn't great for that first quarter, obviously. But once the offense got moving, it just felt like every time he touched the ball, he was if nothing else, a real pain to catch, a pain to bring down. The screen game was, you know, wonderful again, not even exclusively to McKinnon, but just all together. So it feels to me like you're leaning Chiefs right now. Is that fair? What are you looking at right now?
I think the Chiefs are going to win the game. I think they're going to win like 30-24, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win by two scores. I think Buffalo is very good. But having watched this team, as most of, I'm sure all your listeners have, you, everybody else, they're at their best under Mahomes when they have these weeks where people are like, I don't know. I don't know if they can do it. I don't know. And all that doubt, that's usually – I'm more worried about the Chiefs when they have a week where everybody's like, oh, they're going to win, no problem. That always seems to be the week when the Chiefs are just like, yeah, all right, we'll start playing football like middle of the second quarter, kind of like last week where the Chiefs couldn't be bothered to wake up from their coma offensively until they gave up 7 points.
Yep.
And then they're like, all right, and then just went berserk. I think they're going to come out really well in this game. I'm a big believer. If you can win up front, you will, especially with a quarterback like the Chiefs have, you're probably going to win. And I also think it's really hard to beat a team this good in their building twice.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat them at once. Like, I think the Bills can definitely win. Don't get me wrong. The Bills are really talented. And they are more than capable of coming in there and smacking the Chiefs around and moving on. But I think the Chiefs are playing really well. Everybody's talked about how Buffalo's playing, and to an extent that's very true. They won 5 in a row. The Chiefs have won 10 of 11. Like, the Chiefs are playing really good football. And
yeah.
It seems like it's like this mentality. They're like, they're kind of there. They're all right. Like, they're two-time AFC champs. They won 10 of 11. They're at home in this game. They're healthy. Like, I think the Chiefs are the better team. They played the hardest schedule in football and had a better record than the Bills with one of the easiest schedules in football. I think they'll win. I do. I think they'll win by 6 to 10 points, something like that.
Matt Verderam of FanSided with his view on Chiefs-Bills. And I will say, because this season has just been so darn strange, we have sort of a weird perspective on what this team is actually capable of and where they actually belong in the grand scheme of things. This is still a really good football team that has played a pretty tough schedule and played pretty well throughout all of that with the best quarterback in football. It is weird that there's a little bit of sort of fear, a little bit of post-traumatic Bills disorder kind of around this team right now, because of the first time we saw these teams play and of the slumps we saw from the Chiefs, of Ja'Marr Chase, not ending their season, obviously, but ending their hopes of the one seed, more or less. We've seen this team trip up. We've seen them hit a skid. We've seen them have their issues. But I do think that one thing that everyone can decide for themselves how much of the rest of the league they want to watch, right? If you are looking around the entire NFL, you will find, if you look at every team with a similar microscope that you put the Chiefs under, you will not find a perfect team or a team without an inexplicably miserable loss. The difference for the Chiefs, they haven't lost any bad teams. The Bills lost to the Jags. The Titans lost to the Texans. I think the Bills may have also lost to the Jets. I got to get my good teams losing to terrible teams.
I know the Titans lost to the Jets. I don't know if the Bills
I think that's
did.
Right.
The Bills lost to the Jags.
The Bills lost to the Jags in a 9-6 game where Josh Allen picked off and sacked Josh Allen, mm-hmm. which is awesome. That got me through an entire week of just football joy. But you will find great teams. The Bengals, actually, maybe it was the Bengals lost to the Jets. The Bengals did lose to the Jets.
Tampa Bay lost to Washington.
You will find that anywhere, right? For the Chiefs, they didn't lose to Daniel Jones or to the Packers without Jordan Love. Those games were not pretty. Those games were not fun. Those games were not necessarily encouraging, but they weren't a miserable loss. Every team has a loss like that, really, except for the Chiefs. The Chiefs have bad losses in terms of the performance, up again. The Titans and Bills games especially sticking out. But there are not teams without flaws or teams without a reason to wonder or reason to worry. on the contrary, I think the Chiefs are probably the team with the fewest red flags, with the fewest things that should keep you up at night. But we put them under a microscope here in Kansas City, rightfully so, right? We are dissecting every element of this. I could tell you, you know, like, literally every defensive lineman on the roster, probably from the last couple of years. That might be a fun game, because there's probably a couple surprises in there. I'm sure we'd miss somebody. But, like, we have – most Chiefs fans have an opinion on Tershawn Wharton, Derek Nnadi, Jaron Reed. You do not have an opinion on the Bills' fourth or fifth defensive tackle. You don't. You don't. They might not have five defensive tackles on their roster, probably. You do not have an opinion on the eighth defensive lineman on any other team in football, which, again, I understand. But if you go, man, the Chiefs really, if they could get a third edge rusher, that defense would be in really good shape. That's true for everybody. And then they did find one in Melvin Ingram. We judge them up close, which makes sense. We are up close to this team. But to Verderam's last point there, if you are talking about them going up against the Bills out of that sort of fear of, like, wait, are the Bills the better team? That is not because you know the Bills are overwhelming at every single spot on their roster. Nobody is. What that is because of is because you know every flaw the Chiefs have. The question becomes, can the Bills exploit that? The biggest thing that I was talking about leading up to the Steelers game was, I was trying to build the case of, like, what should we look out for? What should we be worried about, right? Leading up to the Steelers game, I was looking back at the Broncos and saying, you know what, they did come out flat. That game felt stale. There was not much fun happening there. And it just was sort of an ugly experience that was much closer than we expected it to be. For the Steelers game, I was saying, if the Chiefs do have a similar experience, if they do have a sluggish start, if they do have some untimely turnovers that we got really used to earlier in the season, that would be rough news. Spoiler alert, that happened in the first quarter. The other thing I said, though, was that I still didn't think that the Steelers were going to be able to capitalize on those mistakes strongly enough to actually hold on to that game or to take control, which hurt myself, pat myself on the back, tear my rotator cuff, pat, pat, pat. But that also happened in almost a perfect encapsulation of why I wasn't really worried about Chiefs-Steelers and why I do think there is a reason to worry about Chiefs-Bills in that way. If the Chiefs do come out flat against Buffalo, I'm not saying they can't come back from 7-0 at the end of the 20-minute mark or whenever that T.J. Watt touchdown was. The Chiefs can erase a touchdown deficit in literally 5 seconds. The thing this week is that if they do have a start like that against the Bills, like they had against the Steelers or even they had against the Broncos or other teams earlier in the year, the Bills will make you pay for that. We just saw them have, like you said earlier, an immaculate offensive performance against the Patriots, against Bill Belichick's defense. Mac Jones, you can, you know, have your varying opinions on. I'm more of a skeptic than a believer, I suppose. I'm Mac Jones agnostic at best, right? No one has ever been agnostic about a Bill Belichick defense in the playoffs. That was not supposed to happen. The Bills will punish the Chiefs if they start this game on their heels. I don't think they're going to, and I do still think they would have a chance to dig out of a touchdown deficit, a 10-point deficit, maybe even a 2-touchdown deficit if it's in the first quarter, right? But that would be playing with fire. And last week they were playing with, like, a match, you know? There's a chance you're going to get burned, but as long as you know what you're doing, it probably isn't going to go that direction. Lots to talk about here on Chiefs-Bills, looking back at Chiefs-Steelers, what we can learn from that. We'll get a little more from Jack, a little more from Blake next segment probably. I don't know. I do love the sound of my own voice. It's up there with the, you know, a beautiful song and the, I was going to say a baby crying, but that's probably one of my least favorite sounds, I would think.
It's up there for me.
Okay, quick. Favorite sound, least favorite sound. From Blake and Jack, favorite sound and least favorite sound. Do not have to be held to this in the long term. Just need a knee-jerk reaction.
Worst sound, probably nails on a chalkboard.
Sure, that's a famous one. Blake, what's your least favorite sound?
I hate when people have really squeaky, high-pitched brakes in traffic when you're outside, and it's like,
I thought about it earlier. Yes! That's a great one. My least favorite sound is that phone ringing.
I forgot you
usually means something bad is happening. That usually means, like, something is on fire or sparking.
I would say I would go with that as well. I also, it's going to sound a little bit mean, but
when you're on an airplane and mm-hmm. somebody's right next to you mm-hmm. and they just keep talking over and over and over again, and you kind of know you're there, you're not interested. You're kind of giving like a, man, that's crazy. Oh, yeah, I get that. I get that. No, no way that happened to you. But it's like they never really pick up, and then you got like a two-hour flight, a three-hour flight, and you're like, I'm trying to be nice,
yeah.
but I'm sorry. I want to put in my headphones and listen to music.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's something that you might just have to – you may just have to be able to do, you know? You might have to just – that's the point of the AirPods, right? It's just, you know, it's a little signal of thanks for the conversation. I was going to – that's not bad. I'm trying to think what my favorite sound is. Not a song, you know, something that is just like a satisfying noise, like a gong, you know? Like that reverberates a little bit.
I'll keep it sports-related. Okay. When you get – like that first like spring training video
Ooh.
Of the ball and the bat, the uh-huh. crack of the bat in spring training in the Arizona heat,
yeah.
something different about it.
I think my favorite sports-related sound, and contextually this could be a horrifying worst sound in sports, but a good going of the football hitting a goalpost. Reverberating.
Again, haunting back for to the Chicago. Goal,
that's exactly right. If you're a Bears fan, that's your least favorite sound in sports. And if you're anybody else, maybe there's something good there. Blake, do you have a favorite sound? We can do it in sports. That's good. We've got to narrow the scope a little bit. That helps.
Favorite in sports sound? You guys had some good ones. I'd probably say the sound of fireworks. I just love explosions
Ooh.
And fireworks to me. When you hear, especially at a Chiefs game, when you hear a loud boom, that just obviously means one
yeah.
of two things. The game started or they scored a touchdown.
That's also pretty good. My favorite sound is actually the sound of the Sports Saturday liner or any commercial break. And the good news is I get to hear any of those things right now. We are live from City Thrift Grand Opening Week here at 1102 Northwest Woods Chapel Road in Blue Springs. More on them after the break. But first, I get to hear some of my favorite sounds.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Still live here for a special edition of Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe out here with Jack Johnson, Blake Schneiders, back at the studio. Nice to have just all three of us to kick it around here today. Makes me feel good. More fun to do the show with more people to kick the ball around with. And even more fun to do it out here at City Thrift. Again, 1102 Northwest Woods Chapel Road in Blue Springs. This is their grand opening week. They opened just a few days ago, and it is popping in here right now. It is an incredible selection. You get out here and get some of their absolute creme de la creme. And if you get here before 1:30, you can beat me to it. Because if you get here after 1:30, you can still say hi to me, because I will be here for a while. I am 100% confident in that. There's a whole section of some great vintage Chiefs stuff that I have not yet rifled through, but will be doing later on. In addition to all sorts of clothing and home goods and just all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, there's a big rack of books over there. I don't know, we just pick one and just bring it with us, and then, you know, just grab a book, take a book, and you know, that's your assigned reading for the week. I don't know. But you have all sorts of choices, so many options, and also will support a good cause by being out here. A couple of things to tell you. You come out here and you donate clothing or a household item at this location today, and you'll be entered to win a $100 gift card. And you can come enjoy the incredible number of, again, like specific vintage Chiefs memorabilia is like my favorite thing. I genuinely like it much more than most of the finely tuned, you know, highly branded, moisture wicking sort of memorabilia that you get from your average, you know, NFL team shop or whatever. This is the good stuff. And again, you will be able to support a good cause. City Thrift, the city in City Thrift is also shared with City Union Mission. So when you donate to City Thrift, you're helping City Union Mission provide warm beds, nutritious food, and a place of safety for the homeless and the less fortunate. So you can come out here and also give some extra life to your unused items by donating them here at City Thrift. The one thing, the only thing that I think we have missed today is that we are doing the show right next to a couch instead of fully enjoying the late night talk show vibe that I've really always wanted to be able to test out on these shows. And instead, we're sitting in some very comfortable
like leather-back chairs. I feel good in this chair, but I wonder how it would feel to do radio from the couch.
That falls on my shoulders. I got to be better next time. And when it comes to situations like that, I didn't even think about it. The couch is closer to the power outlet.
Wow.
Could have been in a much comfort situation. The guests that come on could sit in the chair right next to us. We could totally have the late night show atmosphere. But instead, I decided to go with this lovely table with a tablecloth.
Look, this is better for the tablecloth for sure. This is probably better for us actually not getting too comfortable during the show. You can't get... You've used the new chairs at 810
Studios,
right? Oh, yeah,
they're fantastic.
Right? They're fantastic. I am afraid that if it gets too late on, like, a nice warm summer night this year, I'm afraid that if I lean back in that chair, I may have a Mike Francesa moment of falling asleep live on air. Or God willing and God forbid, the Chiefs win the Super Bowl again and we try to – last time we went all night. We went from, like, 8-ish p.m. until 6 a.m., I think I might have to do that show mostly like standing up or like on a yoga ball or something, an exercise ball.
An elliptical.
I actually slept in the studio when we had to do the 24-hour coverage.
Slumber party.
Yeah, we could all there in your PJs, some bunny slippers.
Yep, robes.
Robes for sure. I'm a big robe guy. If you're not a robe person yet, you know what? Pretty good.
You can probably find some here.
Find one right
here at
City
Thrift.
You know what? One of my I have two or three total robes now. One of them, though, I got at a thrift store many, many years ago. It's like a one of those sort of, if I say lumberjack pattern, you know what I mean, right? It's red with a lumberjack pattern. I think there's another word for it that I think starts with a T. It's not. It's like it's plaid-ish, basically. Like it's like a flannel. It looks like a flannel shirt, but it's a full robe. I got that, Jim, from a thrift store a handful of years ago. Still have that wonderful little thing. So you can find that for yourself. Find your own. Whatever your wardrobe is lacking, come grab it here at City Thrift. You'll get some great prices, support a great cause, and find a great selection. So would encourage you to come and do that. Back on the Chiefs-Bills front here, one of the things that Andy Reid said yesterday that I thought was pretty interesting was around the Chiefs running back room. And, you know, look, if you've heard my voice reverberating over these airwaves before, you know how I felt about spending a first-round pick on a running back and the valuing of that position in general. It's something that I think the football-watching world might be a little bit more ahead of the curve on than the football-choosing, drafting world always can be. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But the Chiefs now are in a kind of peculiar situation. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is off the injury report. Darrell Williams back is questionable as he played a tiny bit last week. But not very much at all as he's working with his toe injury. Hard to know exactly what that's going to entail for him. But you have those being your main two guys, being Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams. Clyde back after suffering that injury against the Steelers the first time. Looked like a collarbone, ended up being described as a shoulder. Seems like he'll be good to go for tomorrow. Plus, you've had big moments from Derek Gore. But then it's actually Jerick McKinnon, who is the guy last week that has maybe a career game. Forgot that's had a pretty good career, but certainly his best game since his slew of injuries that he had to work back through. He was ready when his number was called and had a fabulous performance out of the Chiefs' backfield. So what will the Chiefs do with their running backs this week, and what does Andy Reid expect to do to be able to get all of these running backs with their own individual little peaks and valleys in that backfield? How are they going to get involved? He talked about that earlier this week. And we'll play that audio for you at some point, probably, maybe. This is one of the little curveballs of, you know, doing the show on the road. It's lots of factors, you know.
You don't get the facial expressions of maybe putting your hand in the air and be like,
I can't
now
point.
To you.
And if Blake is dealing with some sort of technological issue, I can't read his distressed face right
now. I'm here. Which one?
Andy Reid on the running backs. I'll
yeah,
throw
what
to it again.
To
and everything.
Well. tame down the plays so they can all go in and do them and then give you the different flavor doing them, you know, whatever their personality or ability is, and they kind of put that forward. But that way we don't have to juggle the plays. And we do the same thing with the tight end position. We do the same thing with wide receiver position. I mean, Tyreek and Kelce, they come out of the game. I mean, there's times when they rest during the game. So as a play caller, you got to have the next man up, and he's got to go, right? So even though it might be a primary to one of those guys, that guy's got to go and do his best and make the play. So that's how we've kind of handled it. And, you know, the guys understand that.
It's interesting because, you know, the next man up thing is, like, beyond a cliche at this point. Like, it has transcended clichédom to be a phrase that, you know, is associated with all things football. I think that particular description of it all is kind of interesting, the idea of paring down to kind of the basics for somebody and then having them run that route or run that handoff or take that block or whatever in a way that then kind of fits their style and their personality. The Chiefs have talked about personality, you know, especially Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy have talked about letting their guys show their personality over the course of, you know, all their time in Kansas City. I talked to Jamal Charles a couple of months back, and he talked about how Bieniemy and Andy Reid were the first guys in his entire football playing life to tell him to be himself, which is, you know, it makes sense when you think about it. You think of kind of the old school of, like, you want football playing robots who happen to be human beings. If you get Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy, and really I think the coaching tree as well, Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy, were, you know, they continued to preach that out, and I'm sure some other guys from even before that era did. I just remember it being on, you know, Matt Nagy's play sheets as BU, right? It's kind of corny, but it's also, like, something that a lot of these guys have never heard from a coach before, and here, that clip makes it something kind of tangible. How are you going to use these guys? How is that actually – how does the personality aspect of it become tangible instead of being an intangible factor to, you know, absolutely just brutalize that word over and over? But, like, that – we talk about intangibles all the time. In this case, it is concrete. And so I hope that the Chiefs have their plan for tomorrow in the running back room relatively lined out. If Jerick McKinnon gets hurt or something, obviously you're going to have to adjust from that point. But – I think also, with all of that being said, the personality, if you will, of Jerick McKinnon as a runner, if not as a I don't know him as a person, but his personality, quote unquote, as a running back, meshed with the personality of this offense, as well as I have seen a running back be able to do that since Damien Williams was here. It felt like the Damien Williams offense a little bit for a guy that could hit a hole and make something out of a gap that was not overwhelming, or run a route out of the backfield, or take a running back screen, something that we've been kind of wondering when that was going to become a bigger part of this offense again. It really never fully hit that level with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Darrell Williams doesn't really have that quick first burst that you kind of need from that position. I'm not sure if Clyde has the you know, breakaway speed that you want there. McKinnon has had both of those things and showed both of those things last weekend. So I am hopeful that we're going to get a healthy dose of Jerick McKinnon tomorrow, because it really felt like the offense was humming with him in that backfield.
Well, actually, just right now, too, from James Palmer of NFL Network, he said that they do not expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be on a snap count tomorrow. So if he's close to 100%, obviously we'll see Clyde on the field. But I think here's the difference with all these running backs and kind of what you were saying with Clyde being a first-round pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a bad running back, but it's the expectation that comes with being a first-round running back.
Right.
And when Jonathan Taylor is doing what he's doing, and you kind of say, well, you know, you missed out on Jonathan Taylor, and then you have guys like Jerick McKinnon,
right?
You know, Darrell Williams, Derek Gore, all those guys doing something, well, they're not expected of a lot. So when they break it open for a 16, 17-yard run, they're like, man, that'd be nice if Clyde could do that.
Right.
But we also expect Clyde every time out to give you 80 rushing yards, 50 receiving yards, a touchdown here or there. Like, that's what they're expecting from Clyde. And when he doesn't do that and somebody else does that,
yeah,
that's when we kind of say, well, let's just go running back by committee, because clearly Jerick McKinnon's the hot hand.
Right. And whenever you overinvest in that position, you start to kind of screw up that dynamic a little bit. We've talked about Jamal Charles now three times on the show today,
mm-hmm,
rightfully so. I loved Jamal Charles on this team. I grew up watching Priest Holmes to Larry Johnson to Jamal Charles. Chiefs fans have an incredible pedigree at our backs in terms of running backs in this city. I loved running backs growing up. You make your Madden create a character. I'm sure I had a running back in there somewhere. Like, the position is fascinating to me. The issue isn't that this phrasing loses people. Running backs do matter in the context of your sport. Individual running backs almost never move the needle on their own, though. And whenever they do, sometimes it's it's James Robinson being an undrafted free agent as a rookie, or it's Jerick McKinnon as a guy who hadn't played meaningful football in like 2 years, or it's Derek Gore, who Blake and I were talking about, you know, in training camp, but nobody knew who Derek Gore was until he gets the opportunity and then is able to do some great things with it. Darrell Williams becomes not just a good running back, he becomes Randy Moss for a moment.
Moss and guys down in Vegas.
It's insane. And so I think that the way to navigate that is to find the guy who is meshing with the personality of your offense. And maybe it is a big Clyde game. That's the flexibility that comes with that. But you're right. The expectations are obviously a huge factor there, because I talked about this also with Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman, guys who have relatively similar statistical production this year. And Hardman is, you know, I think he had more receptions and more yards, but Pringle had more touchdowns or something like that. We talk about those guys so differently because Byron Pringle was an undrafted free agent and Mecole Hardman was a second-round pick. And there's also other stuff that goes on there, right? Like, that's a much longer conversation if you wanted to get into the weeds. But I do hope that we get either Jerick McKinnon or a quick hook on whoever it is that's out there if it's not working tomorrow. I do think the Chiefs will probably lean in that direction, but if they do force Clyde Edwards-Helaire onto the field and the production isn't there, the offense gets kind of disjointed again in his return, because he also hasn't been playing football with this team for several weeks now. If they go that route, I'll probably tweet about it. You know, that's probably what I
should.
That's probably what I could promise. I think there's a pretty good chance you'll find me on Twitter there. Blake, I don't hear any music, but I think it's time for us to skip out and get to the last segment of the. I hear music now.
I was gonna say you can't hear that.
This is. I do now. But it's different. It's wrong. Blake, it's the wrong music. It also seems kind of late. Are we okay, Blake?
We're good.
How are we doing?
We're good.
It's hard being on the road. We're good?
You're all good.
Do I need to wait for this music to end before you throw it a break, or should I just throw it a break and then it's just going to, you'll just figure that out?
I got it.
I just need the
note. You can go ahead and throw it whenever you want, buddy.
Thank you, Blake. We're live here at City. I almost said City Union Mission. It's City Thrift benefiting City Union Mission. It's a brand new location out here in Blue Springs. 1102 Northwest Woods Chapel Road here in Blue Springs. Come on out. Make a donation of clothing or household items. You can enter to win a $100 gift card, plus some great, great, great vintage Chiefs gear, and just an absolute smorgasbord of stuff all around this brand new location here in Blue Springs. I'm Josh Briscoe, and we will take a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back and talk a little more to get you everything you need to know. Prepared for Chiefs Bills, know about City Thrift, know about KU basketball. Coming up, coverage beginning at 1:30. We'll continue that whenever we come back here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment live here on Sports Saturday, out here live at the grand opening of City Thrift. Opened this week, have an incredible event going on here right now. Everything is pristine. There are balloons. It is packed with people. There are kids riding underneath shopping carts. There were dogs in here earlier. I'm not even sure if that's allowed, but I really enjoyed it. And I guess we got to run those rules by John Powell, the head of operations here at City Thrift. John, are small dogs allowed in shopping carts?
They are. They are. Okay. The more the merrier.
It made me very happy and made me a lot more merry. So first question is the one that I was afraid I would have to ask you, which is, did that Macklemore song help or hurt generally thrift shopping? And also, are you completely sick of it?
You know, that kid, that was a groundbreaking moment for, I think, the whole thrift industry. I think it only helped, you know.
Good.
So it's only become more popular since then.
That's good. And I imagine also, though, it's probably if you just looped it in here, you know, 24/7, I think eventually
we thought about it.
Well, I'm glad that it's only been good for the thrift industry.
Sure.
And I mean, you guys have just an incredible new location here. The giant spinning lit up sign is fabulous, and just the selection that I've told everybody everyone should come out here while we're here. Come say hi and you know, come talk to us and everything before 1:30. But then if you buy anything from the men's XL section, maybe wait until like 1:35 so I can get through
it
first.
Do you have a chance to get in there?
I got to get a good crack.
Okay, I'll make that announcement here.
Just tell everyone to clear out for me.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited to check this out. But tell me a little bit about the grand opening here this week and what this process has been like.
Yeah, it's been awesome. This is our fourth location that we've opened for City Thrift here in the KC metro area. The support has just been fantastic, not only from our customers that are coming in shopping, but also the generous donors that are bringing their donations in here for us. This model here, this is we've kind of incorporated all the best practices that we've learned over the years in Thrift into this store, and so we consider this kind of a flagship location for us.
Yeah.
And really, you know, we opened on Thursday morning. It was 6 degrees, windy, cold. I mean, probably the coldest day of the year so far. And the customer support that came out and turned out was just unbelievable. So all signs are looking great. I mean, we really appreciate you guys being here today.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, thank you for having us out here. Because I have long been a major Thrift fan. So being here today feels sort of like, you know, feels like doing the show from like inside of like a bouncy castle, basically.
Right.
You know, I could not pick a better spot to be.
Awesome.
And again, so this new location, 1102 Northwest Woods Chapel Road here in Blue Springs, it feels like a flagship location.
Yeah.
It's just everything that you guys have gotten set up here. I haven't had a chance to do my full roaming around yet, but I will be doing that very shortly. And also, I don't know, I've mentioned this just about every segment today, the city in City Thrift is also the city in City Union Mission, right?
That's right. That's
benefiting
right.
City Union Mission. Can you tell us a little bit about how that relationship
absolutely,
works?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, these stores are owned by the City Union Mission, which is a local mission here that is involved with programs for the homeless and the hungry, which, you know, for us, it makes it easy for us to get out of bed and come to work each day because the revenue that does come into these stores goes to the City Union Mission to help in their endeavors and their support their programs. And they're the real deal. I mean, it's an unbelievable organization. It all stays here locally in Kansas City. They're very much active participants in what we do on the thrift side of the business. And so because of them, we get to do what we love, which is create thrift stores like this create a great offer for the customers. So City Union Mission has been great for to us, and we just like to give back. And so we get a chance to do that, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and so, again, people can give back in their own way by coming and shopping or by donating to City Thrift.
Yeah,
right?
Which is super important. This location, we put a lot of energy and resources into the our drive-through here connected to the side of our building. It's a big double-laned, lit up really well at night. So the support we get from our donors here in this community is just unreal. They're very generous, and without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. Everything you see here that we sell in the store is items that have been donated to us from members of the community. So if you don't donate to City Union Mission directly, you know, financially, you can do it by bringing your gently used items or cleaning out your garage, bringing it to us, and then we sell it back to the community, and then those resources go into helping with the program. So it's a win-win for everybody.
It's really cool. And, again, keeping it all kind of in this community is such a cool aspect of it.
Yep,
you can't,
it is.
You certainly can't say about the, you know, clothes you buy on Amazon. And even, you know, I imagine other thrift locations and everything. You don't always know. I'll speak for myself.
Sure.
I don't know where that money is ultimately going necessarily. But here we do.
Right.
This is sort of maybe inside thrifting, but you say, you know, you love the – opportunity to learn your best practices and to get a location like this as kind of this flagship location. I'm just genuinely kind of curious what that process is like and what you guys what you have learned over however long you've been doing this.
There's a ton that goes into it, and most of the magic happens behind the scenes. We process everything here at each one of our locations. Everything is, you know, brought in as raw donations. You know, it's a 13-gallon trash bag full of someone's used clothing.
Yep.
We break it open. We find the goodies, hang it, price it. We do it all here on location. But there's a lot of things. Like, for example, it's kind of on topic. We backstock Chiefs items all year long. And when you come to a thrift store, you get to find one-of-a-kind Chiefs items that you can't find by going to, you know, a retailer. We've got several you know, starter Chiefs jackets from the 90s, which is a big deal.
Yeah, huge. You know? That's there's a Royals one over there that I've been looking at for now 2.5 hours. Kind of thinking, like, what size
is. Yeah, I know, and those don't last. I mean, we bring them out, and those are a hot item. But, you know, sweatshirts, you know, you see, you know, which I'm into, you see a sweatshirt that says AFC Champions from 1997, 98, whatever it is.
I have a 2003 AFC, I think it's 03, if they didn't win the AFC West that year. Sorry, everybody, I got it wrong. But I think it's an 03, you know, AFC West champion sweater that
awesome,
I thrifted
right?
a long time ago. I have a tag on it still. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
Incredible.
So we take a lot of pride in that. It's not just Chiefs. It's Royals. It's everything, you know, Sporting KC. It's everything Kansas City. But also seasonally relevant items. You know, when
right.
you come into our stores and it's the middle of winter, you're not going to find shorts and T-shirts. You're going to find coats, and you're going to find things that are relevant to the season and hopefully on trend as well. And we put a lot of pride into that, and we work hard to make sure that the offer that we put in front of the customer is desirable items
know,
all year long. Yeah,
yeah, that's also kind of interesting because, again, I think pretty consistently, especially, I don't know, during college, there was a thrift store nearby where I went, and we went there all the time, and some of my favorite items of clothing that I still have, you know, came from those shelves that,
absolutely.
And from here, benefit the community again,
absolutely.
Keep an item of clothing out of a dumpster somewhere, out of a landfill.
And that's a great point, too, instead of that stuff getting thrown away, it gets recycled, reused, and that's a huge benefit that all thrift operators really are contributing.
And we're now on dog number three that I have seen here, so my day continues to get even better.
No, you can't beat it.
That the fact that there is a dogs welcome policy at City Thrift
is
the cherry on top. So one more time, please tell us. And also, again, if people donate today, they enter to win a gift card.
That's correct. That's correct.
And
enter to win a gift card, absolutely.
And so if you do that, what is it that people can bring? And also stuff that you guys need more of now? Because that, for me, sometimes is a little bit of a help to say, hey, right now we really need this or that, and maybe a little motivation for
you
to clear the closets.
Honestly, there's very little that we won't take, and most of those items are things that we can't, like mattresses would be an example.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I mean, hard goods, home decor, dishes, you know, anything that you find in your kitchen, cupboards, anything that you find in your garage, whether it's power tools or that old TV you're not using anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously clothing, even if it's, you know, even if you think it's marginal items that we may not want to sell in the store, still bring it to us because, to your point you just made, we want to keep it out of a landfill. If we can't sell it on our retail floors, we're heavily involved in recycling on the back end as well. So no item of clothing that you donate us will ever end up in the trash. If we don't sell it in the stores, we have other ways of recycling on the back end. So there's a small list of things we wouldn't take, but it's very, very small. It's so small that mattress is the only one I can think of.
right
you
now?
Know, we want you to bring us your stuff. You
right.
Know? And we'll gladly take it with a smile.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Also, again, bring whatever you've got, and then you guys can take it from there. It even makes it a kind of a one stop shop for stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I have a little bag of clothes, and I just sort of been sitting there. Why didn't I bring it with me today? I have no idea. I pulled in today. Wait a second.
Would have been convenient.
I have a bag in the basement that like I've been waiting to take somewhere, and so now I will just bring it to City Thrift.
Yeah, please do.
And I'm guessing that I will take a couple things with me after shopping after the show today, and maybe that'll free up a couple more hangers at home and,
right.
and continue that cycle and, again, keep benefiting the community through that. So come check out this new City Thrift location, 1102 Northwest Woods Chapel Road here in Blue Springs. It is fantastic. I have been keeping my eye on a couple of particular things. I will be taking that little ampersand lit-up sign unless somebody else gets it in the next 15 minutes. I have been worried about that going this entire time. And also that Royal Starter jacket over there has my name. Not even the Starter jacket. That's like a dugout jacket.
Yeah, that's
over
like
there.
The Dick Houser there.
Yeah, so I'm going to end up kind of turning this into a bit of a supermarket sweep, sort of sprinting around at 1:30 today. But I got a few more minutes to do radio. You've got a job to get back
sir.
To. John, thank you so much for all the work that you do, for helping explain everything you guys are doing here with us here today, and for stopping by. Do you have a Chiefs-Bills prediction you'd like to share?
You know, I'll be out the game tomorrow. I'm going to say Chiefs in a close one, 31 30. How about that?
That's pretty good. I think I said 30 to 27. I think Rudy last night had 31-27. We're all in that. We're all in that little bundle there.
Yep.
Hopefully it's good football. Hopefully it's a Chiefs win.
Yeah.
And if you need a little more gear, you want to bundle up, want to add a new vintage piece, a one of a kind piece, come get it here at City Thrift. John, thank you very much for joining us, guys.
We appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
John Powell, head of operations here at City Thrift. If you guys want to switch around or whatever you guys got to do, I'll let Jack handle the. He's our head of operations for the show today. It really is just a super cool spot out here. I love a good thrift store, and this is as good a one as you're going to find anywhere. And I'm so glad that John mentioned this, but like the work that you, the things you bring here stay in the community. The money that you spend here stays in the community and then goes to benefit people who need it most in this community. It's not buying from, you know, some online retailer, which, look, I'm not throwing any stones, right? I've been there. But to have the opportunity and to even know a little more about what City Thrift does and what it will do for this community whenever you come and shop here or come and donate here, let that be a reminder if you're cleaning out your closet in the spring, if you've got some extra winter coats right now that you think ought to be on somebody's back instead of in your closet, come bring it to City Thrift because it will go to benefit the people who need it most in our community. And I really do, I believe it or not, feel pretty strongly about, you know, trying to do what you can in particular for those, you know, closest to you in this community. It's something that City Union Mission, you know, we've talked about them on these airwaves for as long as I can think of off the top of my head, that some of the, you know, ads will run and everything. But great to talk to John and learn a little more about what it is that goes into this process. And also, Blake, you got off easy there. Apparently, Thrift Shop, the Macklemore song, was only good for business, and they're not fully sick of it yet. So that's a real victory, I think, from the hacky bump music department, which is not
that's
an insult, by the way. It is a compliment. That's a dub. It's like, you know, the first day of baseball season, center field is everyone's bump music, you know. You have on somebody with a – God forbid you have on a musical artist and play their own song back to them. That's basically what we did here today, and I'm glad that it went well. So really enjoyed being out here today here at City Thrift. Think you should come out as well, and I really am going to grab that. A little ampersand sign over there. It's been staring at me this entire show. This little got little lights in it. I don't even know. To be honest, I'm not totally sure why. It's just been speaking to me now for about 2.5 hours, and maybe it gets swiped up right in front of my eyes. You know, that would be pretty good live radio. Is the play-by-play of me watching an item that I've been looking at for 2 hours? Just
take out the headset and take off and run and go grab it.
Yeah, I'm
fight
go
for it.
Tackle someone. I'm gonna just do this show from Jack. You want to host a show for about 30 seconds? So I can. No, I'll wait.
Absolutely.
I'll wait till the show's up. But I do want to get some parting thoughts from you and Blake and myself to send people into the KU coverage. It's going to begin here in about 10 minutes on these airwaves. But this means it's our last word on not just Chiefs Bills for today. Obviously, we got a ton of coverage coming back around tomorrow and overnight as well. When are you on, Jack? You're on overnight tonight, right?
I'm on the great hour of 2 a.m. 2
time
to 4,
time,
you can listen to me if you are not out partying, if you're not sleeping. You can listen to me, a full 2-hour rundown of Chiefs and Bills. That'll be Red Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What's your preference in Bengals Titans? Obviously, Chiefs Bills is not Chiefs Steelers. There's a big game to win first. But if you got to make your pick, that game at 3:30 today.
Well, we were talking about it. Derrick Henry's going with a steel plate and 5 screws in his foot, so the Terminator's back.
Or C-3PO at this point.
C-3PO. We'll see if he moves like the Terminator or C-3PO. I think that'll mainly dictate how this game goes. But,
I agree.
Man, I really like Joe Burrow in that offense. And I feel like Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill. I like to make my predictions, but I'm a little bit on the cusp of either one of these teams. I go to the quarterback play, mm-hmm. and Joe Burrow is, I think, head and shoulders above Ryan Tannehill, and Derrick Henry not playing for how many months? It's been 2 months at least. I mean, that's a lot to rely on, and we don't know what his workload will be. Will it be 15 carries? Will it be 25, 30 carries? I mean, usually when the Titans are really good, it's 25 to 30 carries, but I feel like the Bengals are going to make it back-to-back weeks with a win, and then if Kansas City wins, they'll be hosting the AFC Championship game, and I guess Buffalo, for that same matter, the winner of that game would then be hosting the AFC title game if Cincinnati manages to take down the number one seed Tennessee Titans.
Correct. And so I love the logic. I love this Bengals team. I love the call there. And I think I'm going to ride with Tennessee. I have not locked that in until just now, but not because of Derrick Henry. A little bit of extra respect on Ryan Tannehill's name. I do think he has earned that, even though he is the most confusing quarterback. Maybe second to Kirk Cousins. But Ryan Tannehill, I would rather have quarterbacking my team. But A.J. Brown is an absolute alien, which also would make me a little bit afraid of them if they do have to go to Tennessee in this game. I will narrowly take the Titans to disagree with virtually none of your logic, but just the result, I think I'll lean Tennessee. I would rather the Bengals win, though, because I understand the fear from the Bengals. I understand Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I get it. I would like the AFC Championship game to be at Arrowhead one more time. By one more time, I mean, like, one more time, and then another time next year, and then one time every year for the next decade or so. Blake, who you like, Bengals and Titans?
Give me the Bengals. I have a lot of – I went to school down in Tennessee. I have a lot of Titans fans who have this pompous attitude, thinking that they're actually a quality playoff team, and they're not. They're absolutely not. Their pass defense is horrible, especially going up against Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, the alien from another planet. Give me the Bengals all day.
A good game for alien wide receivers. And then tonight, Niners and Packers will be here on Sports Radio 810 as well. I will probably lean Packers in that game, because also I admitted this last week. I don't understand the 49ers. I don't. When they're healthy, they're good. I don't trust their quarterback at all. I'll take the Packers there. Jack, you have a strong take?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Packers win and cover in this one. The one thing with Jimmy G going into this game, I believe it was that he's never played in a game, I think, like colder than 30 degrees, and it's supposed to be near zero.
Really?
I actually think that's true.
That's shocking. Because
I'm blanking now. Where did Jimmy G play college?
Well, he spent a lot of time in New England, obviously,
but wasn't playing consistently.
Right, he was standing there for some cold
games. I hope I'm not wrong on that, but I feel like he hasn't played in a game colder than 30 degrees, and it's going to be cold as hell.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field tonight. So I'm going to take the Packers to win and cover this one. I think Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, those two guys have a good connection, and they win this game comfortably tonight.
I felt dumb for also not remembering where Jimmy G played college, but I feel better at Eastern Illinois University.
So cold.
It can be cold. The season ends a little earlier, though, so maybe that January wind chill's going to get to him. Blake, quick, give me – just say the name of teams. Niners, Packers, Chiefs, Bills.
Packers.
And, the other one.
Chiefs.
Yep.
And
yep.
Rams.
Ooh. Spicy. Thank you, Jack, for being here. Thank you, Blake, for all your work back there. Thanks to everyone out here at City Thrift on behalf of City Union Mission. A great spot out here. Their grand opening right here in Missouri. Come check it out. I'm going to be here roaming the halls for a little while longer. You can catch me. Just don't take my stuff. Bye, Mom.